My guest is Dr. James Carafano, Assistant Director of the Catherine and Shelby Cullum Davis Institute for International Studies and a Senior Research Fellow in the Douglas and Sarah Allison Center for Foreign Policy Studies at the Heritage Foundation. Dr. Carafano is the author of several books, including Private Sector, Public Wars, Contracting in Combat, Afghanistan, Iraq, Afghanistan, and Future Conflicts. And Dr. Carafano, thank you very much for being on the program today. I'm grateful to have you.
Good to be with you.
I was enticed by your visit to Mexico. This is an issue that until the last week or so, I believe has not been getting the kind of due that it deserves in the media. And so I was interested to see that you actually went there, to the U.S.-Mexico border to find out exactly what was going on. What was your reasoning for wanting to go in the first place?
Well, I was actually on the U.S. side of the border. I was actually down in Pima County in Arizona. There's been a lot of coverage on the violence on the Mexican side of the border, where you have the government, really for the first time, really fighting back against the cartels. And, that has been some very, very significant violence where they've actually had to send the military in because the police are either corrupt or overwhelmed. And we're actually in cities like Ciudad Juarez and some of the other cities, there's actually more violence than we saw, you know, in Baghdad. Beheadings, murders, bombings, and to see what's going on the U.S. side, that was my big concern. How much, because you hear a lot of this thing about, well, the violence is just going to bleed over to the U.S. side of the border. And so here's generally what I found, is the violence on the U.S. side of the border is mostly the cartel on cartel. The rival cartels are fighting for control of the smuggling lanes coming in the United States. Most of what they're doing on the U.S. side of the border is really attacking each other. They let the other guy, you know, hump the drugs across, and then they basically take them away from the other guy.
Mm-hmm.
So, ambushing each other, raiding each other's stash houses. And then there's some supporting crime that you see. A lot of it's stolen cars. You steal a stolen car, run it down to the border, pick up a load, run it back, that kind of stuff. You're not seeing necessarily the Wild West on the U.S. side of the border, but you are certainly seeing the impact of these criminal cartels in America. There's no question about that.
And there is a fear, I imagine, that the techniques that the cartels use on the Mexican side of the border could continue to expand and maybe start to hit some innocent people, some bystanders, essentially, if this violence escalates on our side.
Well, like I said, there's been a bit of that. What we've seen, for example, is a lot of Mexican officials are increasingly having their families live on the American side of the border, and so there certainly has been some cases of cartels, you know, going after them and threatening them, and Americans being hurt or killed crossing into Mexico. But we haven't seen a wave of violence. And then here's the most important thing is the situation, you know, on just north and south of the line are very, very different. I mean, the problem in Mexico, quite frankly, is the cartels don't feel restrained in any way. They've overwhelmed the police. They outgunned the police. In many ways, it's kind of like the Wild West. On the U.S. side, you know, you know, law and order is there. I mean, you've got police departments. We've got, you know, double the number of Border Patrol agents that we had just a couple of years ago. A big state presence. So law enforcement's working really, really well. Now, does that mean there's not, you know, drugs and people and guns and money, you know, flowing like a river? Well, there is. But what you're not seeing is the visible, to the degree that you're seeing in the South, the visible lawlessness.
Talk about the corruption issue, because that's something that just about any time any discussion about Mexico comes up in any context, that's a terrible problem compared to what we're used to dealing with on our side of the border.
Yeah, and it was a double whammy. First of all, this is a $25 billion a year industry, and you smuggle drugs, marijuana, cocaine, some methamphetamines. You smuggle the drugs north. You also move people's more, because you don't care what you're smuggling as long as there's a profit in it. So you smuggle drugs and people north, and then you smuggle money and guns south. The money is the profits from your illegal take, and that money fuels further illegal activity, and then the guns you use to help fight the war. So on the Mexican side, you know, you have law enforcement not as well trained, not as well paid. These guys have so much money that they can buy people off, or they have their own personal armies. They can drive them away, which is why, in a sense, they've had to send the military in there to do this. Now, we've been helping, actually. It's a great initiative that was started in the Bush administration just last year called the Merit Initiative, where we're basically for the first time ever, the Mexicos are cooperating with us in security, and we're helping build up the capacity of the military to go in and fight these cartels, and when they take the ground back, then they come in and reform the police, rebuild the police, and then hopefully hold the ground. That's the plan. And the double whammy is not only are the cartels so strong, is the government, before Calderon came in, who's the new president, the government was incredibly weak. The old government, Vicente Fox, he had this theory of social peace, which was really simple. He says, if you don't enforce the law, you know, people won't bother you. And so he actually, you know, they actually turned, their back in many ways, to let the cartels just run amok. And what's happened is, the cartels have gained and gained in strength. And the other problem is, and this is where I think Secretary Clinton kind of got it wrong. The reason why Mexico has such a big problem today is because we've actually done our job. When we started ramping up border security much more seriously, and it was harder to get drugs in the United States, what the cartels did is they just started selling the drugs in Mexico. So Mexico has its own large drug problem now. And they haven't faced it. They haven't faced down the cartels. They haven't faced down this drug problem. And they're sending a lot of drugs straight from Mexico to Europe. So in a sense, by us kind of doing our job and fighting the cartels, and the Mexicans not fighting the cartels, they've kind of helped create their own problem.
How is this situation different in Mexico from, or how is it the same with what some of the South American countries that are heavy into the drug trade are dealing with and have dealt with?
Well, many of those countries don't have near the capacity and diversity of the economy that Mexico has. And so in those countries, in a sense, the drug trade could really become the economy almost overnight. We have to remember, Mexico is still, I think Mexico being on the verge of, you know, becoming a third world, you know, war zone, I think is a bit overplayed. Mexico has a large economy. They have a big population. They have agriculture. They have oil. They have other things. They've got lots of structural problems, but they're not, in a sense, as vulnerable and as some of the smaller Latin American countries are.
You mentioned Secretary Clinton's visit to Mexico, at which she made the comments that you referred to. How does this affect the U.S.-Mexico relationship? If we go back to President Bush coming into office in 2000, there was kind of an era of good feelings expected because he had this relationship with President Fox, having been governor of Texas. That didn't seem to materialize, and there actually was some tension in that relationship by the time President Fox left office. Talk about where we stand with Mexico diplomatically today and how this fits into it.
Well, I mean, I think the government, I mean, the United States and the Mexican governments are both on the same page in terms of we've got to fight these cartels. That was there before these guys came into office. I actually think Clinton's comment about, you know, it's all our fault because we're using a lot of drugs, I actually think that was an unhelpful comment in a lot of ways, because it really, in many ways, just kind of confirmed this the prejudice on Mexico that this is all the fault of the Americans, right? Well, you know, there's plenty of blame to go around. Yeah, there's drug use in the United States, but there's also drug use in Mexico. And, you know, in a large part, why the cartels are so powerful is because the Mexican government and the Mexican people turned a blind eye to that criminal activity until it started to affect them. Then all of a sudden it became a big deal. So, in a sense, kind of feeding this kind of Mexican that some Mexicans have is like, you know, it's all the Americans' fault, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's healthy and constructive.
Talk about what you actually saw. Talk about the law enforcement agencies that you were with when you were on the border and so forth.
Well, I was down there with the Pima County Sheriff's Department, which works hand in hand with the Border Patrol, the Bureau of Land Management, which also has a lot of land down there, has its own police force, Customs and Border Protection agencies, and state officials, who are all working much better now in a coordinated way to fight the thing. And what the administration just announced in terms of new initiatives, which is to spend as much time battling the stuff that's flowing south into Mexico, the money and the guns, as we do fighting the drugs and the people coming north, that's important, and these guys need help on that. But I think what we really have to focus on is we have to give a lot more support to our border communities and our border sheriffs. Many of them have large areas that they cover with very small force, and they need some help there. You know, It's unbelievable. We just flew over the desert in a helicopter, and you're going over miles and miles and miles of desert, and then all of a sudden you look down, and there's this big bright spot in the desert, and what it is very obvious. You go down, and it's just a giant circle of, like, water bottles and trash and everything, and it's obvious that this is a big group that, you know, had come south, you know, gone through the middle of the desert, and this is where they'd stopped and for the night and just left all their trash and everything. And so you can just see these kind of, you know, smuggling superhighways that are just funneling through the desert into the U.S. And in a lot of ways, these guys are out there like, you know, with their fingers in the dike, you know, trying to fight this flood.
Dr. James Carafano of the Heritage Foundation is the author of several books, including Private Sector Public Wars. And he's just back from the U.S.-Mexico border, Pima County, Arizona, to be specific. And I want to talk about Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano when we come back from our commercial break, and how her experience as governor of Arizona might be a boost for the effort to try to work this problem out. We'll do that when we continue in just a moment on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. We're back on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. We're talking about Mexico and the U.S.-Mexico border and the U.S.-Mexico relationship with Dr. James Carafano of the Heritage Foundation, just back from the border in Pima County, Arizona. And thank you again, Dr. Carafano, for spending so much time with me today.
That's been great.
Our Homeland Security Secretary now is Janet Napolitano. She, of course, the former governor of Arizona. Do you think this gives the federal government a leg up, having her firsthand experience at the top of that agency, gives them a leg up in trying to deal with this problem?
Well, I think it's certainly great. As a border governor, she certainly appreciates the challenges that are down there, and that's certainly helpful. But quite honestly, the Department of Homeland Security has been focused on this challenge for years. I mean, there was an announcement just a few days ago about a brand new initiative, but that initiative had really been in the work for months from the previous administration. So, we put a lot of resources in the Department of Homeland Security, particularly on the border. We built border obstacles, doubled the size of the Border Patrol, deployed all kinds of new technologies down there. So certainly it's helpful, but you know, it's not like the guys weren't already on the case already.
The Washington Times is reporting today, Dr. Carafano, that Hezbollah says he is using the same southern narcotics routes that Mexican drug kingpins do to smuggle drugs and people into the United States, reaping money to finance its operations and threatening U.S. national security. And there are extensive quotes in this story from Michael Braun, who's just recently retired as assistant administrator and chief of operations at the DEA. Is this a new development, or is this something that have they kind of been in this mix all along?
No, it's not. It's not really news. Both Hamas and Hezbollah have had networks in Latin America for years. They primarily use them for fundraising. They also do some human trafficking and smuggling. If you go, there's often, you hear this term OTM, which is other than Mexicans, and you go to the different detention facilities in the south, and you go in there, and there are people that are obviously not from Latin America, and you go, well, what are these people doing here? Most of them are economic refugees who want to get in the United States from all around the world. A lot of them are from China. Some of them are from the Middle East. They pay big bucks to get smuggled into the United States. Virtually the only way to do that is to come in illegally. So, you know, groups like Hezbollah and Hamas and other people make money off of that. Now there's it's a legitimate concern that, you know, what happens if Hezbollah and Hamas decide to turn their networks and their operations in Latin America over to doing terrorist activities? And the answer is, you know, that would be a problem. You know, the only thing that's really one of the things that's restraining them now is, by not doing that, that's an economic lifeline for them. So if they did do that, you know, people would go after those networks in a much more vociferous way, and they would lose a big source of income. So is it a problem? You bet. Is it a national security threat? In the terms of, you know, funneling terrorists into the United States, you know, probably not any more than it was 10 or 15 years ago.
It does sound rather ominous, and that's a discussion we'll have to save for another day. Before I let you go, I would like to ask you, last hour we ran President Obama's speech talking about an uptick in forces in Afghanistan and our relationship with Pakistan. You're an expert in that area of the world as well. I just wanted to ask if you had any comments offhand about the president's speech today.
You know, he said all the right thing. The plan has all the right elements to it. And now, you know, the proof is in the pudding. You know, we've got to see the administration put those resources in there, put that commitment in there, maintain that focus in the face of, let's be honest, the war in Afghanistan is going to get less popular with the American people. He's going to get more opposition from his own party in the United States. But unless he really maintains a full and serious commitment in Afghanistan and Pakistan, the problem is not going to get solved. So it sounds like all the right stuff, but you got to follow through and do it, and that's what we're going to have to wait to see.
Is it fair to call this President Obama's surge?
You know, you got to get ahead of the competition, right? If you just incrementally try to do things better and do the minimum you can to get away with it, they just incrementally adjust. So if you don't do like what we did in Iraq and kind of leap ahead of the way ahead of the bad guys and kind of set the terms of what's going on, you're always going to be getting pledge up. And what you're going to wind up doing is pouring more and more resources down there and getting deeper and deeper committed politically. This is a problem Johnson had in Vietnam. You know, is he tried to get away with the minimum he could do. And when you do that, you almost always wind up behind. So that's the real danger for the president.